93.5, 95.3, Connect FM.
Mondays and Fridays, it's Mike Ditka, brother Johnny. Today, Johnny is in Houston, Texas. Hey, Johnny.
DJ, happy Labor Day.
Happy Labor Day. Mike, you're in Chicago?
I'm back in Chicago.
Yahoo! Mike Ditka, the incredible traveled one, on the phone as well. Well, Mike, it was 34 years ago today, and brother Johnny and Bobby got married at the Monticello Methodist Church, and I caught the garter.
Wow. That's terrific stuff right there. That's great.
34 years, Johnny. How about that?
Well, I'll tell you, Steve.
Stronger than ever.
Yeah, well, it was a lucky shot, Mike, and she's been great. And you know, it's 238 dog years, Stevie.
So and Johnny, I was in Philo with Johnny on Saturday, Mike, and he took me running, and he said, we're just going to go a mile. It ended up being like a mile point two, and he said, we're running a 10-minute mile. That had to be 4.5-minute mile, Johnny. We had to run about 4.5 minutes. I'm not sore as can be.
I don't think so, Mike. In fact, it seemed like it might have been 20, Steve. You might need to get out there and do a little stretching.
Anyway, good to have you both. I want to start with the NFL. Mike, I think it's a mistake with a $9 billion business to not figure out your referees, which are an important part of all of this.
Well, I agree with that. I don't know what the situation is. I just know that when you have demands on both sides have got to listen. I know the one demand the NFL has is just for one full-time official on every staff. Now, I don't know what the big contention with that is, Steve, so I really don't know. I don't know that salary I can understand. You know, I can understand them arguing a little bit about salary, but I don't think this is about salary, I'll be honest with you. And I think it's about the working situation, whereas all these guys officiating the NFL, and to be honest, all have other jobs. I mean, that's a secondary job. And they make pretty good money with a secondary job. So I really don't know the situation. I mean, I'd hate to make a comment one way or the other, but I do believe that both sides have dug their heels in the sand, and that's where they're going to stand right now.
Well, it's kind of it doesn't make a whole lot of sense either, Mike, when they want a full-time guy on staff, so they're holding out, and we're getting high school officials.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I, John, I'm not saying none of it's right. I agree with you now. I'm saying that I understand. I don't know what the demand for the full-time guy is. I don't know why it is, but I think this is something that was, you know, it was going to come to a point somewhere along the way. Unfortunately, to come to a point now at the start of the NFL season, I agree with you guys. I mean, the game is too good to not be treated the best. Now, let me say this also, because I really believe this. It doesn't matter who's the people are going to make mistakes, even the best, but they're going to make less mistakes. I mean, you know, there's no such thing as perfection in officiating or umpiring or anything else. So there's going to be mistakes. So you say, well, if the regular officials come back, they'll make mistakes. Yeah, they might make mistakes, but they certainly won't make as many.
Well,
and I think that's, and the game deserves the best.
One thing that I thought made a little sense that might happen as these replacement guys keep going is the kind of more physical, rougher teams will just get rougher because they're going to get away with more.
Right.
And those physical teams might start exerting a little more pressure, but then they're all physical, so I don't know.
Yeah, and I think the one thing, though, even over a period of the four games I've watched, they have got better. Now, what that mean, I don't know. I'm not trying to say justify anything I'm saying, but they have got better.
Well, and I think two aspects here, too. If the official's just trying to get in on the party, because everybody's making so much money, and, you know, it pays what it pays. But the other side of that is the first bad holding call that calls back a touchdown and robs a team of a win, there's going to be rain, and there's going to be a lot of people really mad because the stakes are very high.
Well, John, I mean, Steve, you're exactly right. I mean, listen, I mean, that can happen with any official, but you're right. You're exactly right that the stakes are really high.
Well, it's going to fire people up more, too, Mike. You're right, too. These guys make mistakes. Steve, we see it all the time. There's always a controversial call here or there, and I don't know how they do it to start with. And I think they're going to get better. They're going to get better fast. But you have to be out there, and it's kind of, you know, on-the-job training. But I don't know. They got a lot of guts to go up to places like Philadelphia,
oh, my.
New York.
Oh, my. No, listen. This is
Chicago, Mike.
You can't hide. You can't hide.
The Chicago fans are going to
I tell you what, we start, Wednesday night with
yep.
Giants and Dallas. I mean, my God, I mean, it's and you're looking at the world champions playing a team that thinks they can be world champions. And I don't really have an answer, guys. I'm not trying to defend the officiating or the league or anything else. I mean, I don't know how it got to where it's at, but
yeah.
Evidently it got here, and it got here for reasons, so that we don't know that.
Well, and I just think this guy's done Triton College, and now he's throwing a flag against our Super Bowl champion Giants on a holding call that can be...
I agree. Boy, wow. I tell you what, it's a long way.
Man, I tell you. All right, last week it was the Republicans. This week it'll be the Democrats. The Democrats are now talking about the Republican convention as the party of 1812, the party with no new ideas.
When Governor Romney finally had a chance to reveal the secret sauce, he did not offer a single new idea. It was just retreads of the same old policies we've been hearing for decades. The same policies that have been sticking it to the middle class for years.
And then it was Joe Biden on the campaign trail as well.
By the way, they're not doing it the Bain way. Not in Mexico, not in China, not in Vietnam. They're investing $28 billion in the United States of America.
And then there was this hysterical MSNBC host. The levels on this could be a little bit low.
Seriously, what in the world is riskier than being a poor person in America? I live in a neighborhood where people are shot on my street corner. I live in a neighborhood where people have to figure out how to get their kid into school because maybe it'll be a good school and maybe it won't. I am sick of the idea that being wealthy is risky. No, there is a huge safety net that whenever you fail will catch you and catch you and catch you. Being poor is what is risky. We have to create a safety net for poor people, and when we won't, because they happen to look different.
Okay, all right, so there you have it, gentlemen. Mike, we begin with you. Are you going to watch the Cowboys-Giants or listen to Bill Clinton Wednesday night?
Well, Bill Clinton is an embarrassment to me because I know he doesn't agree with the president.
Yeah.
And to make the statements and run the ads he runs is really hypocritical, and I think he's a hypocrite. I have nothing against Bill Clinton at all. I think he's a fine man, but I think to make the statements he made in the paid ad is ridiculous because he doesn't believe that. He doesn't believe this man is good for this country, and that's all I can say, really. I'm not going to watch the Democratic Convention at all because I have no interest to, really. Nothing that they say can influence what I think, period. I mean, my mind is set. I know who I am, I know what I am, I know what I believe about America, and it's just listening to that last raving by that lady was ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous. So what we're saying in America is very simply what you there's no motive to achieve or to become the best or become better or make money. No, you sit back and you do nothing, and we the government will take care of you. Is that what this country was founded on? I mean, is that what we're all about? You sit back, hold your hand out, and we'll take care of you because you are less fortunate. Well, that's a bunch of crap. Nobody's less fortunate. And I understand there are people who are less fortunate, but everybody has an opportunity. And the one thing anybody can do is find a job and get a job and do a job. I don't care about unemployment or everything else. There's a way to go to work if you want to work. Now, if you don't, there's a way to avoid work, too.
Well, and the agenda is clear, and it's to transfer the control and power of America into a big central government. That's the overall agenda. That's why you attack the rich and try to make them feel like that. And who are the rich, Steve? The rich are people like me and you, and I'm not saying we're rich, but like me and you who work. Maybe we have a few other opportunities. Maybe people like Bill Gates and Warren Buffett got a few other, Mike Ditka, maybe we all got a little bit better of an opportunity here and there. And they came from the people. You talk about the top 2-3%, that's 5 to 10 million people, Steve. They are doing a lot of running the country, quote-unquote, on an economic standpoint. You want to turn that over to Tim Geithner, one guy? You want to turn that over to three people who are going to decide where this money goes? What the Democrats are promising is these rich are tearing us apart. They're oppressing the poor. We're going to make it all better. They can't do it. This promise has been made before, Mike. It's
well,
not doable.
Here's the thing, John. I mean, and let me just say one thing, and then there's nothing else to say. if you're running on the record you had for the last four, you have no record to run on. So therefore, the only thing you can do is tear down the other guy's record. You have no record to run on, no record of success at all. It's been a failure for 4 years. Every economic program they put in place has been a failure. Every social program has been a failure. They have done nothing in 4 years. Now, they might take credit for ending a war or killing somebody or this, but they really did nothing. A lot of things were already in place before they got there. Now, what they've done since they've got there, they've destroyed a lot of the American way, in my opinion. So when you're asking, you know, are you better off 4 years now than you were 4 years ago? If you say you are, and in my case, I would probably say, yeah, I'm better off because I worked more. I had better chances. I had better opportunities. And, yeah, I'm probably a little better off than I was 4 years ago. But America isn't.
And I think, too, it's just the approach they're taking is clearly not working. And instead of saying, man, maybe we should try something else, they're saying, well, that's because of George Bush. I just need more time. But
but
these things are panning out just as you might predict, and there's no recognition. The other thing, Steve, we've seen the Barack Obama, President of the United States, and had a chance to evaluate. One thing that bothers me, when he quotes the Constitution, we were endowed with certain inalienable rights. Is there something wrong with that phrase? That's what he said. He's leaving out, we were endowed by our Creator. That bothers me.
Yeah, yeah.
That is a transformation of America, because this is one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That, by the way, is a Pledge of Allegiance, which our president right now doesn't like that either. I would like another president that's more online with kind of the things that made this country the best country that's ever been created. I want to transform it right back to mediocrity or to a big centralized government. That's what the Democrats are promoting. And by the way, their plan is, well, just let's keep trying what we're doing. You keep doing the same thing over and over and expect different results. That's called insanity.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, it's, and on the record, former Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel, now the mayor of Chicago, said this.
People want to know about the first term? Very simple. General Motors is alive and well, and Osama bin Laden is not. And that's what got done.
Okay, so there you go, Mike. That's the record.
Well, the Osama bin Laden thing is pretty interesting when you really look at it, because if you're going to blame the Bush administration for everything else, they laid all the groundwork for all that. So that was all put in play. General Motors, with the bailout, I think it was right to help General Motors. I really do. I think they're a great part of our economy. I can't argue with that. I don't know. Some of that came out of both administrations, I'm sure, but I have no problem with that. I mean, I don't know if they're back or if they're making money or what they're doing, but I will say that I think they're a part of the American fabric, and you've got to try to keep them above water.
I think that some things have happened, Steve. I mean, let's face it, it's been 4 years of all kinds of things going on, and some things have come out okay, including General Motors, but it's the general philosophy that I think we have to decide on. And I also have a very, very big problem with this class warfare approach, because we're all Americans. And the people he's attacking are people who probably, some of them immigrated this generation. Many of us, we all immigrated at one point or another. And because of the random opportunities and the idea that all people of all colors and all backgrounds can succeed, we have a very, very healthy upper class and a good middle class. And it's always a fight. And I'd like to see that band of success widen too. But you don't do that by turning it over to a federal government. That's the point. Their philosophy of there's not perfect justice, so let us take over won't work.
Well, here's the mayor of San Antonio, and this is pretty much the entire position of the Democrats, I guess, for this week.
If you look at their platform, the 2012 platform, it looks like it's from another century and maybe even two. It looks like the platform of 1812.
All right, so that's going to be their whole position this week, is Republicans are just doing the same old that got us in this problem. And I don't know where they get the number, $1 trillion tax break to their rich friends, Johnny. It's not $1 trillion.
Yeah, that they throw these bandies. There's no money involved in this tax hike on the rich. It's, what, $70 billion, I think, which is basically nothing. And it's just... It's just to try to create resentment against a certain group, and it's a very, very un-American approach.
Well, you know, it's going to come down to what those that have eyes, they'll see, and those that have ears will hear. I mean, you're not going to change a lot of conviction of a lot of people. I mean, this election is going to come down to a certain group of people, whether you call them independents. They talk about the women. They talk about this. I don't think you're going to convert the women, I'll be honest with you, in a lot of cases. So it's going to come down to people who are on the fringe of whether they voted for Bush, or they didn't vote for Bush for this reason. They voted for Obama because they thought that he was America's new hope. Well, he's not America's new hope. He's the same old rotten thing, and maybe worse than anybody else.
All right, 7:49, Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, a few more minutes here on the radio on this Monday, Labor Day morning. It's 93.5, 95.3, it's Connect FM. The New Yorker has quoted Bill Clinton as saying that when he was lobbying Ted Kennedy for Hillary's endorsement in 2008, said a few years ago, this guy would have been carrying our bag. So it leads back to your comment, Mike, about Bill Clinton stumping now for Barack Obama, how disingenuous that sounds when you hear all these comments about how, you know, we got to run for president in this last election. We can win this, Hillary. It's time for us. This guy, you know, all these comments you're hearing from reputable sources, how Bill Clinton isn't on the page, but yet he's their big guy this week, leaning on him for Wednesday night. It doesn't, you know, and Thursday night when he speaks to 74,000 at that outdoor stadium, are they going to have Greek columns again as they did in Denver at Mile House Stadium? Are they going to struggle to fill the seats, Johnny, or is this going to be one of those fake faux pas deals?
I think they'll probably have people out there. I don't think that's that many. But Bill Clinton's always been a staunch party man. I mean, I tell you, I give him that. And he's coming around. Now, they don't know what he's going to say.
Yeah, that's true.
So, Mike, that's
pretty sure, old John. He's not going to say anything derogatory. He's going to praise this administration and praise the president, and that's what he's going to say. But the thing is, and I don't think he believes that. Now, maybe he does. Maybe he does. I don't know. I just don't think he believes that.
Well, it's interesting. Hillary's not going. So,
why is that? Why do you think that is?
Well, that's a good question. But
he's
going to be in Vladivostok, which
he thinks she's a clown.
I mean, I still think she could have won the nomination.
Well, the theory on Hillary is that she's in a lose-lose if she goes. She doesn't want to be around the losing campaign, although Bill's right there speaking.
Yeah.
And she doesn't, and if he wins, she doesn't want to be connected to what's going to be the record in 2016, if we can even imagine that.
Yeah,
can you? It's bad after 4 years. I don't see it getting any better.
The debt, you know, in four more years, and find out what it would be. And these people got to start understanding this. Who's going to pay for this? The lower class, the middle class, and what you guys said it right. What he's created is class warfare. He's got America fighting with each other because he's breaking in the class instead of one country under God. We become many countries under God.
Well, and some would cross out the under God.
And that's a big part of what you said, because I'm not sure that there's any belief about that stuff. I think a lot of that, there's a lot of hypocritical stuff. Unless you really believe and show you believe, then I don't think you believe too much.
Well, and I think that's kind of where we get back to the government kind of replaces God. They can take care of, we're here, we're real, we can do it. And that's never been true.
And
it's never really, really worked, Steve. And we don't need to go that route. What we have is the right formula. And it does need to be tweaked. Listen, a lot of the 10 million people, quote, in that top 2 or 3% are corrupt, but most of them aren't. Most of them are very community-minded, and they're very, very, very generous and helpful, and they want to help other people up. And that's how you help people up, when we as Americans, without the government taking care of us, help people do what they want to do.
Well, what do you think the number is? If, you know, they're talking about all these undecideds. How many people do you think, give me a percentage, in America truly haven't decided what they're doing? You're either voting for Barack Obama or you're voting for Mitt Romney, but how many do you think are going, I've just never seen such a big divide in my life. I think you've decided already.
It's 5 to 10%, though, which is 5 to 10 million voters.
Wow.
And that's the difference.
Wow.
That I wouldn't have been able to guess that either, Steve. I don't know. I really don't. But, you know, I think John is probably right. And that is a lot of people.
But wait, how do you not know where you're going? It's so clear.
It really is. I mean, from both sides, whether you're Democrat or Republican, you can say, how can you go the other way? I mean, that's what people say, but evidently there are people out there who have no clue.
You're either a Bear or you're a Packer. Well, I don't know. There's no in between there.
Yeah, but you're talking about...
That's a little different now. You could be a Bear, a Packer, a Saint, a 49er. You could be a lot of fans.
But, Steve, I'll tell you, you and Mike and I pay some attention. When you're talking about even anybody under 40, really, is more used to these kind of texting, tweeting, iPhone, Internet. They have about they're going to pay attention for 2-3 minutes, and they're on to something else.
Yeah, that's right.
They're not necessarily, they're being some of these undecided. They're really not that plugged in, and they're like, huh, what are they saying about him? What did Clinton do? Is Bill Clinton speaking? They're not necessarily all over it.
No.
And it's still a little early, even at that. So
if you went on a street in downtown Chicago and said, what's the national deficit? How many would know it's 60?
No clue.
Wow. I mean, they wouldn't know $16 trillion. They wouldn't know $5 trillion.
Not even close.
Wow.
They would have no idea.
That's not
now,
good.
Now, you ask them how many bullets are in a revolver, they might know that.
Well, now, by the way, last thing I did want to touch on, this violence in Chicago is awful, Mike. What's going on here?
It's people killing each other. I mean, you know what's going on. You know, it's gang warfare. It's turf. It's this. It's that.
How do you stop it? It's getting
even worse than that. I live in downtown Chicago, and it's amazing. Sometimes you can drive down here, and I'm talking about on Michigan Avenue, and Michigan and Chicago, which is, you know, is about as pop many people as you could get stuck anywhere. And you see a lot of this gang evidence coming out now, you know, with the people with the pants hanging off their backs and, you know, off their butts. And you see the look now. It's almost a defiant look the way people walk around up here sometimes. And, you know, I would have to say that they're probably looking for trouble instead of trying to avoid trouble.
Yeah, and it's interesting because crime overall in America has actually gone down.
Chicago's a little different. But then again, Chicago's a little different in a lot of ways, mayor-wise, political-wise. And, you know, you just heard the statement that the mayor of Chicago made. He didn't make any sense either. He's so far left that he went around the corner a long time ago.
I wonder how you do stop that gang violence. I mean, it's just a daunting task when you have 500 gangs and 200 of them
and
fighting.
You know, and the Chicago police do a great job. They really do. But, I mean, there's only so much you can really do. I mean, I really believe that. I mean, I'm firmly convinced, you know, if you got a gun and you want to do something with it, you can probably find a way to do something with it, you know, that nobody would know. Mm. I mean, let's face it, guys. I mean, that's just the way it is. But these people are fighting over turf and rights and this and that and power. And it's so stupid because they're eliminating each other for no reason. I mean, and none of it makes any sense.
Well, listen, I'm going to leave it there. But Friday when we gather again, I'll be playing something that you haven't heard, and that's a clip from Barack Obama's speech Thursday night. So we'll get together and gather then. We'll also have the Giants-Cowboys game to talk about after that Wednesday night. But, Mike, Johnny, thank you as always.
Hey, thanks, guys.
All right,
thanks,
guys. Take care. God bless.
God bless you. All right, thank you, Johnny. Thank you, Mike. It's Brother Johnny Mike Ditka.